Good afternoon, and thank you for listening to Lakeshore Public Radio on the dial at 89.1 FM and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. It's time for Midwest Beats. I'm your host, Tom Lounges, and the afternoon program is a two-hour slice of great music and interviews with the people who make that great music. I've got two guests today. Coming up the second hour, we'll be turning the hands of time back to the Dirty Dancing days with someone who wrote some of the hits for that. But he's not been idle. In fact, there's something very topical that he'll want to talk about. I'm talking about Frank Previte. He'll be joining us on the second hour, coming up on the first hour. A gentleman from the East Coast who has found his California dream. Americana singer-songwriter Tom Sless will join us next. Good afternoon and welcome to Lakeshore Public Radio's Midwest Beats with yours truly, Tom Lounges. This program is all about music and the people who make it. We've got 2 hours together today, my friends, so buckle in and settle in and get ready for some great music. We're going to start the first hour with a gentleman who is a singer-songwriter, originally from the East Coast, the Jersey Shores, who has found his California dream. His name is Tom Sless. He's a great little singer-songwriter that has just recently gotten onto my radar, and I want to put him on yours. So if you're ready, let's get ready to blast off. This is one of my favorite songs on Tom's new album, California Dream, and it came out in March. This is something I always fantasized about as a kid. I remember sitting in the kitchen and watching a tech put in a lighting system in my parents' kitchen, and while the radio was on, and John Glenn, remember him, the astronaut? He was circling the orbit, and I thought, wow, wouldn't it be cool to be an astronaut one day? Well, it seems I'm not the only one that shared that fantasy, because this song is called Astronaut. Tom Sless, he'll be joining us after this.
To be, I'm an astronaut, but I'm lost at sea, and if nobody's shining down my head.
New music, Tom Sless, and I think we will be remembering him because this is a great debut album called California Dream. I want to thank Randy for turning me on to this album and this amazing artist who is now on my radar and now on the phone with us. Tom, how are you?
Good, Tom. Thanks for having me on. Excited to be speaking with you.
It's Tom and Tom. It's the Tom and Tom Show.
Isn't that great?
This album really took me by surprise. I haven't heard a lot of new stuff because of the COVID situation and the releases. This came out right before COVID hit, and I imagine in some ways that helped as far as getting it promoted because of the lack of new releases. Your music is out there in the forefront.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was a tough thing to not be able to play a big release show, continue planning the tour I was hoping to do this summer, and just share the music with live audiences. But press has kept going on the record. Everyone can still stream it and listen to it online. I've also been able to reach people through Instagram Live and all those great things that we have with technology. So we were able to still hit the ground running when it came out in late March and still hoping for a great rest of the year with this album.
This record impressed me because it's got a variety of different styles. It's all got that that Southern California groove to it, that West Coast sound that we got to know so well in the 70s with bands like the Eagles and Poco and Hartsfield here in Chicago. But this is different. It's got a little touch of like that last song, Astronaut, in particular. I feel a little Jimmy Buffett in there, a little Jay Ferguson in there. And then a whole lot of new stuff. And right now, that's got to be my favorite track of the eight that's on California Dream. Of course, that'll probably change tomorrow as I live with this album a little longer. The sign of a good album is when you can't pick a favorite and you love it all. And so far, that's kind of where I'm at with this.
Yeah, I love hearing feedback from people who have been listening. A lot of different favorites came out when we were even recording in the studio. I asked around everyone who worked on the record, what was your favorite track? And it was never a consensus answer. A few rose to the top. One's like Astronauts, the one we're, you know, making music videos for and continue to promote a little bit. But every song has a different vein to it, a different inspiration. And I think people have latched on to different things with this record. And I'm really proud of the way it came out.
Now, will Astronaut be a formal music video or more of a lyrical video?
I'm working right now on a formal live-action music video, something to capture not only the metaphor of the song about kind of de-shackling yourself from past baggage and moving forward, but also capturing a little bit of that literal astronaut lost at sea vibe, which I'm excited to show everyone, something we did down the beach in Southern California.
As I mentioned, I don't know if you were listening prior to me bringing you on, but one of the things I remember as a child growing up in the 60s was John Glenn circling, you know, in orbit and sitting in the kitchen as a kid just thinking how cool that would be to be an astronaut looking down on Earth. And I always thought, well, I think I'm going to be an astronaut when I grow up. And it's kind of funny because in the beginning of the song, you kind of allude to that. And then, of course, the song goes in so many directions. Were you ever fascinated with space? Did you want to be an astronaut? Where did that song come from?
So I definitely love looking up at the sky at night, looking up at the stars. It's something that I've always enjoyed. The idea of the astronaut to me was almost, I mean, just like you were saying, the astronaut is like that dream experience type job where only the best, the smartest, the people get to go up in space and see the Earth from that perspective. And for me, the song came about for that as a metaphor of almost that's the dream achievement of becoming that astronaut. And you feel in your heart, you know, you want to get to that height. But then you end up, you go through a little bit of life and you feel like you're not on the path that's going to get you to outer space, to that epiphany or that dream aspiration of yours. And I found myself in a similar situation just with the way my career and relationships were going. And as I moved my focus back to music where it began for me as a young kid, as my main passion, moved it back to that and started pursuing songwriting, writing this record, and now promoting it and sharing it with the world, that was what the metaphor was getting back to that idea of the astronaut, the guy who's achieved it all. He's done exactly what he set out to do and trying to get there, even though we may feel lost at sea at times.
Okay. You mentioned in some of the materials that you had sent me prior to this that you started music as early as fifth grade. How did you come to music? How important was the school system of music to you growing up? I always like to give credit to the teachers that helped bring us to where we are today. And did you ever think this was going to be your career all those years ago?
Definitely always been a dream of mine ever since I started listening to just rock and roll, classic rock, the Beatles primarily, but many different bands growing up. And the other side to it, though, you know, I obviously had experiences getting introduced to 60s and 70s music through my parents and kind of getting into the rock and roll side. But with the band in school, I started out on the trumpet, and I was, from a young age, very obsessed with the sound of the orchestra, the sound of the band, and how all the different timbres of the sounds of all the instruments fit together. The trumpet, the one I played, kind of soars above everything, but everything serves a purpose. The clarinets and the flutes, the woodwinds, the brass, and then the percussion, it all serves a purpose. And I really loved listening to classical and marching band music and those types of songs I was playing in the band. And it really helped that I had great music teachers through elementary school and middle school who were pushing all the students, including myself, to continue to improve. I took private lessons for trumpet that introduced me to a lot of the music theory and the language of music. Mm-hmm. And those experiences definitely shaped how I got into songwriting. It started as composing pieces, orchestral or band pieces, and then as rock and guitar and piano came more into the forefront for where my passion was taking me, the songwriting shifted around that.
Well, on this album, you play both acoustic, electric, you play 6 and 12 string, dabble a little organ on Astronaut, we just heard, and of mm-hmm. course, do the vocals. Do you ever anticipate at some point now, moving forward, even though this is your first album, of adding some of your brass sounds to there, going back to your roots and picking up the trumpet or any of the brass instruments?
You know, I still have my Yamaha horn. I'm still keeping it in kind of decent shape. I would love to bring it back more. I just love the sound of brass. It was something I obviously put into two of the tracks on the album, California Dream and Why Oh Why, mm-hmm. with the help of a great section. And I'd love to get back into it. Right now I'm focusing on my guitar and my vocals and just kind of getting on a track. But it always spices up a show. Something I used to do growing up, we'd play Miserloo as a cover with the band I had in high school. And I would do the chugging Dick Dale guitar mm-hmm. the song and then pick the trumpet up off the stand and wail out that trumpet solo in the middle of the song and then get right back to guitar. And I love doing that. But since I've gotten back into songwriting, I've been focusing more on writing, on the lyrics, on the themes, and I hope to get back to the brass soon.
You mentioned Dick Dale, the King of Surf Guitar, and that begs to ask, how did a guy from the Jersey Shores, how did a guy from the East Coast wind up with the California Dream, which, of course, you've now moved out there, I understand, and this album just reeks of California sunshine?
For me, the basis of it is the foundation of the beach. I was born, like you said, down the shore, outside Atlantic City. It's basically born on the beach. Both my parents love the beach, and I was swimming at a very young age, like 9 months old, already in the ocean. And I think when I thought about where I wanted to be in a big city, I loved the idea of being around lots of different types of people who were passionate about their careers or just working on diverse things. And LA was the place that came to mind that had both of those. And from some vacations early on in childhood, traveling out there, it just kind of stuck with me, even though I was on the East Coast for my first 21, 22 years of life until moving out there in 2014. And as I was out there, things started to take shape. I really feel like LA to me is a new home. You know, I have ties on the East Coast. My parents now live in Texas. I have ties all over the country through family and friends. But California and Los Angeles specifically really touched on something in my soul, and it came out in the stories I was telling on this record. And I think it starts with the waves, it starts with the beach, but I think there's something to be said also about how people in California and in all over the country, people in LA seem to be really focused on their passions, and that kind of energy bleeds into everything you do, and it kind of refocuses your mind on what's important to you, whether it's family, faith, or music. And so that energy is something that I really tapped into and wanted to bleed through in this album.
All right, we're talking with Tom Sless. His album is California Dream. We're going to play the title track right now. We'll be back with Tom to talk about songwriting and his evolution as an artist and where we're going after this. This is California Dream.
I was breathing in the burning fossil fuels in the downtown Los Angeles heat, but the air tasted clean and the mountain views were sweeping me off of my feet. Ah, when my phone started ringing, man, I couldn't believe the feeling I got looking out at the city. I answered the call, put the world on hold, said I'm packing my bags, I found my new home. I held on to my heart and reached for the hills. I took it all in, I took it all in. A relentless change was blowing in the wind, and nothing can rain a change in. To a new nightmare. My dad had fought back his tears, and I couldn't believe my cousin Sean had died in his sleep. In less than an hour, I was back on a plane, finding out good and bad days all in the same way.
California Dream, title track to a great new album that hit the streets in March. Letting it ride out like a wave. Tom Sless is the artist. You're hearing him here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. Tom is my guest. That is not your dad's California music. That has nothing to do with the Beach Boys or even Dick Dale. That has that Southern rock slash Americana, touch of country, touch of even jazz in there. I love the fact that the percussion was so powerful on that song, and also added some tasty slide guitar in there. Tom, tell us a little bit about that song and how it came about.
Definitely. It's a great story, something I'm really proud of. I was looking at the record in about late May, and when we started recording in mid-July, and I had seven songs, and I had a bunch of other songs in reserve, but I had the seven songs picked out, all except California Dream. And I didn't have any other songs to fill that role. I was looking at what I had in my repertoire. I was like, none of these are as strong as these seven to put on this first record. And from talking with a friend of mine, Clifton Jennings, who actually co-wrote a few songs on the record and did art design as well for the cover art, I was speaking to him about the experience, the story that I laid out in the lyrics of California Dream. And it was something that I hadn't dove into in my writing before, the experience of kind of deciding to move to Los Angeles and in the same 24-hour span, hearing the news of the tragic passing of my cousin Sean, all in a short period of time. And I hadn't dove into it. And I was trying to think, you know, at the same time as having this conversation, what's going to be this eighth song that can tie together this record, tie together the optimism, but also the trepidation mm-hmm. of going for the California Dream. And both of those ideas sitting on my head, I decided I just have to write that song, however it's going to come out. And so I started storyboarding just verse after verse after verse, going through that experience. And as I was putting it together, I got drawn to the piano being the focal point for the song. A lot of the other songs on the record are very guitar focused, and I felt that the piano, having something that could call upon a Thunder Road-esque experience of telling this story, building to a climactic finish, it fit the part perfectly. And as I got to, I knew I wanted to get to California Dream. That's what this all summed to. And as I got to that refrain, when I write my demons down, start singing them gently or screaming them loud, it flew through my fingertips into my laptop lyric sheet like butter. It just came out, and I felt that that message was so pure. And as soon as I had that song put together, I sent it to John Bottrell, my co-producer, and said, "This is the eighth song." About a month before we got in the studio, this is it. We're gonna make it work. And the band pulled it off in the studio. The brass pulled that motif forward, the piano motif, pulling that forward into the kind of big reintro in the middle there. And it just came together so beautifully to help me kind of put that experience to rest, I guess, and, you know, to kind of calm that experience in my heart. And the way it came out, I was just really proud about.
The production on this album is really solid, something that you don't always hear on indie projects because of the budget restraints. But you've got a crack band here. The production is great. As I mentioned, on that song, what first caught my attention was the great percussion on there. Eva Friedman is credited with that. Tell me about Eva. Is she part of your regular band?
Eva certainly is. She actually, of the people who recorded on the record, Eva's the most regular person I perform with. I met her in August 2018 or just July 2018, one of those, about a year before we recorded the record. We started playing a few shows together. She's a great drummer, great percussionist. We had a great time. Actually, just she posted on Instagram yesterday. A year ago yesterday, we were in the studio recording those orchestral drums together. We were doing we had a small marching bass drum set up on a stand, and we had the mallets going, and we were hitting toms, and we were doing all this percussion together. A great moment in the studio for the two of us as just becoming great friends throughout this process of playing music together. She's also from New Jersey. We met up in LA, and yeah, I would agree. The percussion, the orchestral sound of that, it really amplified the weight of what I was trying to communicate with that story. And she did a great job.
So you gave her some carte blanche to kind of create that the percussion grooves on that song.
Yeah, throughout the album, actually, she and I have a really good communication. A lot of her drumming inspiration or influences are people who I grew up just feeling inspired by their groove takes. People like Ringo Starr, underrated.
Mm-hmm.
People like Keith Moon. People like, you know, just you name it. A lot of those classic rock influences. And I'll usually show her a template of a song that, you know, this is a groove like California Dream, a halftime groove, or it's something like some of the later songs you hear in the album, like Give Me the Breeze, this is a shuffle beat. And I let her roll with it. I just tell her, this is the vibe. Here's a few songs to kind of get your mind going. And she just nails it take after take. She did. There's actually a fun story I could tell you about a song we might hear later on Too Much On My Mind, where she nailed the part twice in a row, exactly the same way, to overdub drum takes, something that you can't really do. Most of the time you'd overdub them electronically.
Right.
But she played exactly the same part. We're like, wow, this is great. And she just really provides the bedrock for the whole record. Can't say enough about Eva.
Yeah, hang on to her, because I want to see her perform when you come out this way to Chicagoland.
Absolutely.
That said, obviously everyone is in lockdown still, and there's very little touring or performing going on. This album came out in March, so you haven't had time to get behind it. But once COVID is behind us, do you have a formal Tom Sless band, or, you know, is it the guys and gals that are on this album that are your, you know, tour band, or are these session players, or what's the gist of how you're going to sound live?
So live, my goal would be to recreate this record as cleanly as possible. A lot of the people who were involved with the record would be involved with the group. But a lot of these people are session players. Evo had hoped definitely to be with me, but for instance, David, who played the pianos and the organs, he's based in Oregon, in Portland. So we pulled some people in for the record kind of quickly. John Petro was a huge help in helping assemble this band. A lot of these people were references that he knew out in Los Angeles. And we looked for people who could bring that 60s, 70s vibe to the studio and also just be good-hearted people, because this album is a lot about heart. And we wanted people to be producing music that also felt the messages in the song. And so the live sound would be as close to the record, I think, as possible, if not with some additional frills. I love arranging more brass for live, because brass live can liven up any room more than on a record can. And but along those lines, it would have to remain to be seen where everyone's at when COVID blows over, to see who from the record would be in the band and be able to go on the road at the time if we are allowed to.
Right.
But would definitely love to recreate this sound as best as possible.
Well, and I know it gets expensive to bring a brass section along with you, so you may have to go to keyboard to recreate that. But boy, this is an incredible record. I just can't get enough of this. And again, I thank Randy Alexander for turning me on to your music. Everyone, artists have a lifetime, they say, to create that first record, and you have created a wonderful record. But now the pressure's on. At this point, you're going to have to start thinking of a second, third, fourth album now that you're on the path. How much trepidation do you have to say, can I top this album? Will I top this album?
You know, I think I've actually hit a great stride inspiration-wise during quarantine the last 4 months or so with songwriting. Something I was almost a little fearsome of, having those kind of trepidations, were about the 3 months or so before the album came out, I hadn't written a damn thing. And I was I was still writing every day, but the songs weren't coming out. And I was, you know, okay, well, let's just focus on this record coming out. Quell those fears. There'll be time. And the record came out and everything shut down. And then all of a sudden, inspiration just came out of nowhere. And I've written a lot of great songs, some songs that I think would definitely have fit nicely on this record, but also are a bit of a step forward in some of the topics and some of the stories I'm telling. And so as I go forward, you know, part of the reason I wanted to put out this record so quickly, having, you know, basically wrote all these songs, the earliest song maybe in mid-2018, so less than 2 years from composition to release, I wanted to put it out quickly so that I could get on track and get to that second, third record. I don't want to be working on this first record for 4, 5, 6 years just to perfect it, because I think there's something to be said for releasing the music when it's relevant to not only you, but to the listener, because they're going to tap into your story. And I hope that people will tap into what I'm going through and hopefully relate to the stories I'm telling. But it kind of gets stale if you let that go on for too long and the moment passes. And I didn't want any moments to pass with this record. So I'm proud of where it came out as a first debut album, but I'm also really excited about the output I've had the last few months and looking forward to continuing to release and record music, maybe even before the end of this year. Who knows?
I was going to ask you, I was wondering how old some of these songs were, if these were songs that you've written over the last few years and were sitting on, but you had just answered that. You created this entire piece in like a year and a half from start to finish, and California Dreaming being the last song. Let's talk about the stories that are in these songs. You are clearly a storyteller in the tradition. You mentioned Springsteen earlier in Thunder Road, but some of my favorite singer-songwriters are like Michael McDermott, of Chicago here, and Willie Nile of your neighborhood there in Jersey and New York, Springsteen, of course. Those are guys that write these topical songs that take you into these personalities that are very real personalities from the streets or wherever. You have a lot of storytelling in these songs, from Astronaut to California Dream to Give Me the Breeze, just about freedom, hitting the road, putting the top down. Where do the subjects come from? Where do you get inspired as a songwriter?
It comes from different things I'm going through. I think this record specifically, the stories on this record, were centered around the idea of a change in course, changing the wind in my sails. I was in a previous career. I wasn't focusing on music. I was kind of just away from where my passion was. And this record spoke to that experience of what's important in life is to feel impassioned and feel proud of the work you're doing and what you're putting into the world, the energy you're putting into the world. And my energy comes out best when it's through song and music. So these songs all kind of tapped into different phases or different facets of that experience of shifting careers, focusing on music, tapping back into the original dream from when I was a kid. And some of the stories, like you said, An Astronaut, that one is specifically about, is this the right choice? Is this the right place to be going? Mm-hmm. California Dream, about the experience I mentioned, kind of almost the way I got to this point to be able to make these decisions. I think maybe just going back to the influences, something a name that doesn't get mentioned enough with the storytelling is Jim Croce, who's a huge influence of mine growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And a tragic story with his life, but something just, it felt like everything he wrote about was so honest and so, and that makes it inspiring as a songwriter and as any listener. And I really got a lot into Jim Croce's record, again, starting back into songwriting a few years ago, writing these songs. And that honesty was what I really wanted to capture in my songs. I wanted these songs to feel real, but most importantly, feel like me and not feel like stories that were, I guess, just with fluff details or not really as direct as they could be. And that type of songwriting is what drove this record and drove the whole production of it, to keep it real and keep it grounded in who I am and who I'm going to be or dream of being.
Well, I haven't heard anyone mention Croce in a while. I had AJ, his son, on maybe a year ago, and but Jim is you're right. He's off everyone's radar. He's almost forgotten, and it's a shame. Him and Harry Chapin, two great songwriters from the olden days. And it's good to see that a lot of newer artists are coming along. Luke Combs, another one. Sturgill, of course. Jason Isbell. All of these guys are coming along now. I have a record store, and I'm seeing the vinyl blowing off the shelves from those artists in particular, with the younger people, but also the older people are embracing it because that style is a throwback in some ways to the artists you just mentioned, Croce and such. Who were your primary, I don't want to say influences, but when we all start off in the arts, we emulate somebody. Whether we're writers, poets, whatever, we emulate somebody that we admire. Who were your go-to people when you first started developing a style?
So it's an interesting question. I think this style of this record, those artists that drove that were some of the ones you just named. Springsteen, Isbell, Tom Petty, Americana guys and people really telling dense stories and really fleshing out characters and emotions in a really creative and interesting way. But when I first got into music, it was a much different vibe. I was very much into big time 60s, 70s production songs. And that's like late Beatles, that's like Queen or even ELO. These bands that just had huge, you know, orchestral sound, tying back to where I started with my roots in the trumpet in the band, they were using all different sounds and instruments and stacked vocals. And I think with this record, those are the sounds that kind of crept back in because I was focusing so much on the song, and that was where the Springsteen, Petty, Isbell influence was shining through. And I think that's the lifeblood of the record because it's the stories that I'm trying to tell and the honesty I'm trying to convey. But the little sugar sprinkled on top of each song are those progressive rock, late 60s, psychedelic type sounds. That's why you'll hear An Astronaut or Too Much on My Mind. You'll feel, you know, giant vocal stacks, or that's why you'll hear brass fanfare like in California Dream we were just listening to, which I compare a lot to Carry That Weight, a Beatles song. Now, a lot of people don't really talk about as one of their greatest, but that brass in that song is just top class, just so beautiful to listen to. And that was the sound that I wanted to just have as like the icing on top of each of these songs. Have a little bit of that, not have it be a psychedelic record or anything like that. But that's, I guess, how I was shaping all of my influences to be what I consider my sound for this record.
A little homage to some of the roots that you grew up on. And let's play that one. Now, let's play Too Much on My Mind. You mentioned that you had a good Eva story tied to that, too. So why don't you tell us the story, unless you want to tell it after the song.
Yeah, we can. Let's listen to the song first, and I'll tell the story afterwards. It's a little homage to the sound of this track, just a short little intro. This one's got a little bit of a jam influence, some little bit of Grateful Dead. And, yeah, let's talk about it after we hear it.
All right, this is track number 8. It closes out California Dream. More with Tom Sless, and we return on Midwest Beat.
I've got too much on my mind. What's a man to do? My candle's slowly burning. Let the wick feels like a fuse. My laundry list of chores reads like a CVS receipt. And I'm praying this guitar can make ends meet. I've got too much on my mind. I've got too much on my mind. And if that were
love that ending there. Too much on my mind. Sometimes I wonder if I have a mind. That is Tom Sless, closing track, A California Dream. And Tom is our guest today here on Midwest Beat at Lakeshore Public Radio. Tom, there's a lot of things about that song I do want to comment on. First, I love the lyrics on it, and I love the reference to the CVS receipt.
Isn't that so true?
It's amazing. I always have to comment, it's like, how many trees did you kill to give me all these coupons? Right. Which I probably will never use.
I want to buy a bar of soap, and it ends up being 3 feet long.
Yeah, that's a classic line. That is one of those I'll never forget. One of the things that I noticed on here is the Tasty pedal steel guitar, and I noticed it was done by a gentleman named Barry Sless. I've got to think it's a relative.
We got to think it too, but you know, we've talked, and I've known Barry now for a little over a year and a half. My uncle and father have been aware of him in the jam band circles. He's a guy who's played with Phil Lesh and Friends, Moon Alice, a lot of different bands over the years. He's around their age, and they've been aware of him for a long time, but we haven't really been able to figure out the tree, how it goes, or how far back we have to go to find if there's a relation at all. But funnily enough, same last name. Barry's a great guy. I got to meet him out in LA a couple times before he sat and recorded for the record. And I agree. It really adds so much lift to that ending where he can just go and rip off all those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Great play.
Tasty. And the other thing on there, too, that I don't see credits for, so I don't know if it's you doing it or if it's David, but the piano is really, it accents so well on that song. Who's playing?
That's David there. He's playing the piano on that track. That was, I don't want to speak for him, but from what I recall, I think he had the most fun recording that track in the studio for the reason you mentioned. That piano solo in the section there, or in the middle there, I could tell the smile on his face got bigger and bigger every time we went through in a rehearsal. And then when he finally got to lay it down, I think he really nailed it.
Okay. And now let's get to that Eva Friedman story. What's the story on Eva on that song?
Right. So with this track, it's got a little bit of that jam band influence. I'm a big Grateful Dead fan. And something that they did that I always thought was really interesting, especially because they started doing it so early in their career, and so it wasn't much of a gimmick, was having two drummers set up during all their performances, Mickey Hart and Bill Kreutzmann. And I felt like, you know, of all the songs on the record, with this one having a lot of that jam influence, from talking in the studio, we just kind of had a spur moment of the idea to say, hey, what would it be like if we tried to recreate some of that power, some of that double drum sound? And so what Eva did is, after we recorded the basic track, we had her reset up the kit slightly with a slightly different snare drum, slightly different tom sounds. We changed the mic configuration just to get a different sound out of the same room where the kit was situated. And we had to ask her to do the challenging task. Now what you've got to do is play exactly in time with this recording that you already have down. You don't have the benefit of playing live with the band, as we all did to record the basic track. And you've got to try to avoid flamming being the sound of like bah, bah, on the snare, mm-hmm. on all of those snare hits during this double time feel. The whole beat of the song is a snare, you know, kind of train beat, like that. And she's got to nail all of those, or else it's going to just sound like a mess. And we thought, you know, hey, we'll send her in there and we'll see how it goes. And, you know, we'll just tell her, give it your best. As she's recording, you know, some of the people had taken a break and they come back in. They're like, oh, is this the studio recording? It's just the single drum set? And no, Eva's in there right now playing the other drum set in time perfectly with the already recorded drum set. And it just, every single beat was right on the money. Her time is incredible. And we kept it as it was. And it was a challenge for Michael to mix those two drum kits. Something, when he opened the file, he gave me a little bit of a hard time thinking I told him it would be a simple record to mix, and then he's got two drum kits. But it turned out great, and it's more power to Eva for just nailing it in a way that none of us thought was possible.
That is extremely challenging, and I've got to wonder why that approach, which obviously worked very well, as opposed to like just multi-tracking the single take.
I think what we wanted to do was get the vibe of having two drummers, and we only had Eva, and I think we shifted the mic configuration enough where it wouldn't have been able to necessarily do it like that, or, you know, kind of mute certain mics. We wanted to have a totally different sound versus just kind of an adapted sound. Because if it was just the same part, then then you're kind of just mixing the same performance. We wanted to have like that Mickey Hart feel and that Bill Kreutzmann feel, have two personalities kind of coming through a little bit.
All right, so it's not a complete replication of her performance, even though she played the same. You set it up so it sounded like it was a different part of the room.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about your roots in music a little bit. Are you from a musical family? Is this something that's in your DNA? You mentioned you started as a child writing and performing, and you always thought this would be a great job. Are you the first of the family? Is this something that you've inherited? You mentioned your dad and your uncle in, I think it was bluegrass bands or jam bands. Tell me a little bit about the lineage and the DNA of music in your family.
Sure. So to clarify, my dad and my uncle are huge Deadheads, as is my other uncle. They all huge Deadheads, and they knew of Barry Sless through that. But none of them are actually musicians.
Okay.
Growing up, music was a huge part of our household, of course. Just a lot of the music that are my deepest influences are things that were introduced to me by my parents. My sister and brother both played instruments in the band for a long time. And my brother played with me in my band when I was in high school. He was on bass as a 13-year-old. My sister still does a bit of creative writing. And from time to time, we'll talk songwriting and talk about that. And so there are creative parts of every personality in my immediate family. But no musicians by trade or songwriters by trade. But I think we, as a house, just had music on a lot. We just love talking about music, love talking about the aura of, you know, being on stage, the aura of performance, and all of our favorite artists. And I think that was what, you know, helped me just tap into something that was a little bit natural talent and then refine it and learn more about it over time to the point where I'm at today. Tracing back even before that, there's no musicians as like grandparents or anything like that. I know of there's some people from a few generations back, I think a composer and a horn player and some other pieces in my family, little things that trickled down somehow, but definitely in a little bit of uncharted water here for me as far as my family goes.
So that said, how has the family embraced your career choice? Was there any point in which they said, Tom, get a real job? Or are they living the California dream with you through your music?
I'd say they're all living the dream with me. I think something my parents really is important to them is that we find work, productive work, whatever it may be, that makes us feel happy and fulfilled. And my sister has gone through incredible education. She's a recent MBA grad. She's now living in New York City, about to start a great job with Microsoft. My brother's an Air Force pilot in Phoenix training, and I'm doing the music. And I think all three of those are pretty vastly different as far as career choices. But I think what my parents really enforced was having us find a path that feels right for us, but making sure when we're on that path that we're working hard at it and that it's something that is not just a vacation or a reason to have fun. It's something that we feel strongly about. And that's certainly how I feel about songwriting and performance. And I'm really excited to just continue to pouring more and more energy into it as the rest of this year and the rest of the future beats on.
Okay, we talked about how a video is being made for Astronaut, which we played earlier in the show. We have played the title track California Dream, which I think is another strong candidate for being a single in a world in which singles almost don't exist anymore except online. That said, Tom, this album's been out since March. How has the reaction been to it? Obviously, you can't go out and play in front of an audience, get that instant feedback, but how has the media responded? How has radio responded? How have your fellow musicians responded to this debut offering?
It's been a very warm reception. We've gotten some great write-ups in American Songwriter in the most recent July and August issue. And as going forward, you know, we've gotten some other great press. I was on a local radio show down the shore this week where WOND sharing it on their show, and funny enough, you said that, you know, it is tough to come by a live audience, but luckily I was able to play a show to a local audience in Ventnor City down the shore, and a socially distant crowd, outdoor patio seating, was able to actually share some of these songs on the record for the first time with a live audience, and I was really thankful to be doing that show down at Water Dog Smokehouse in Ventnor. And you know, I think as going forward with live shows being few and far between, I'm excited about the reception we've gotten. And, you know, a lot of the people out in L.A. who I'm friends with have commented positively on the record. And I think, you know, what's important to me is that it sounded great. But I think what's more important are when people come up to me and tell me that a story like the story in Astronaut or the story in California Dream or any song, really, if it spoke to them, that's what I love hearing the most, is when I hear that from people or writers or whoever it may be. Because that, to me, is the ultimate connection of using music, the universal language, to dive into our own experiences and find common ground and just grow as a people.
All right. Now, with the COVID thing, a lot of artists have been taking to doing, you know, the home recordings and streaming and things. Have you been embracing that new style of getting your music out there at all?
Yeah, I did a short 8-episode-long virtual podcast, basically an Instagram Live, and then simulcast it as an audio podcast on SoundCloud for 8 weeks, profiling an individual song from the record each week, bringing on an interviewee each week, someone who collaborated the record. I brought on a lot of the people in the liner notes to just come on and talk about music, talk about life during COVID, talk about the record. I'm looking to start up another Instagram Live streaming content stream or series in the next few weeks to kind of close out the summer, something a little more short form where I'll be sharing a song of mine, an original song either from the record, and then a cover song of a related theme, whether it's a lyrical theme or maybe the musical theme, kind of tying the two together. It'll be called 11 Minutes or Less, and it'll be on Instagram Live. More details to come once I get them up there.
Now, you have a website, tomsless.com, very easy to remember, folks, and you are also on Facebook. How do we find out about this series that you're going to do? Will it be on both or either or?
So it'll be Instagram Live. It'll be on Instagram Live, which is also at tomsless. But any announcements like that will be on Facebook and Instagram. I also like to keep my website updated with news, and I also have a mailing list. If you go to my website, tomsless.com, you can find a way to sign up for the mailing list and stay up to date on all of these updates and everything that's to come with content and possibly even live shows if we're able to.
And folks, we've been talking a lot about the storytelling of Tom's music and the lyrics, and you can actually find the lyrics on the website as well. So if you're maybe not understanding every single word and you want to hear this story and read it, you can find the lyrics there as well. Something that I really appreciate from songwriters, because sometimes, you know, you're so caught up, maybe there's a drum part or something where you maybe don't catch the full lyric, and this way you can hear the story. One thing we have not talked about, Tom, we talked about your songwriting, about your instrumentation, about your history. Your voice is pretty unique. I have a hard time with believing this is your first real effort, that you're almost a novice at some point in this, because you are such a strong songwriter. This album has such a strong sound. You've been a great band leader gathering these talents together. And then your voice, it's versatile, and it's varied, and it's pure. But it never quite sounds the same from song to song. Tell me about your voice. Are you formally trained? I'm thinking you might be.
I'm not really at all. No, I did when I was in school in 2018 to 2019. After I left my previous career, I went to Musician Institute in Hollywood, and I did take some formal vocal lessons during the 2 quarters I spent there. So I've had a bit of training recently, but as far as formal training growing up, I didn't really have any formal vocal training. I kind of found out that I could sing well. Funnily, while I was in middle school, I decided that when I was in 8th grade, I wanted to try out for the school musical, because in my house, I knew I could sing, but I hadn't shown anyone at school. And so I went to the vocal teacher, the chorus teacher, and I just told her, "Hey, I'm Tom, and I'd like to try out for Aladdin. Can I have the information?" She said, "Sure, sing these notes on the piano." And I'd never sang for anyone outside of my parents or my siblings. And I sing the notes along with her, do whatever she asked me to do. And she just looks at me in the eye and says, "Where have you been?" And I ended up getting cast as the lead, Aladdin, in my first and only ever theater production that I did. And that, I think, kind of just, I was like, okay, well, I can figure this out from here. And I think what helped was the musical training I had with trumpet and kind of the theory knowledge. And I was able to piece together what I needed to do. But the voice is just what I was blessed with from God. And I think You know, I've been focusing on ways to maximize it now as it made it into my career, trying to find the best ways to keep it healthy, keep it going through long, you know, 2-3 hour shows and not burning out too quickly, especially in some songs like Give Me Breathe or California Dream, where there's upper register work. And so I've been working on that and just trying to keep, you know, get pointers from online. But I think, you know, some of the differences in my vocal, I think, just came from trying to emulate my influences. When I was growing up, I was just trying to sing like Jim Morrison or sing like Paul McCartney or like John Lennon, and just trying to, and almost like an impersonation.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was trying to do all these different guys and trying to find where my voice fit, I think I just might have just pieced together a few things through luck. And, but now, you know, I'm taking good care of myself. I don't drink a lot anymore. I don't smoke a lot anymore. And I'm just trying to keep healthy so I can keep doing this.
Well, the vocals definitely stand out in this. And like I said, they're varied from song to song, which keeps the interest of the listener. Your style of playing, the writing, the sequencing of this album, everything seems to gel very, very well. One of the best debut albums I've heard in a long time, and certainly one of the best of this year that I've gotten of any album. I wish you well. And is there anything we have not talked about that you'd like to let my listeners know before we leave with the final song?
I'd just like to say that, you know, I'm obviously thankful for being on the show today, Tom. Thanks for having me. I really feel like while this album is called The California Dream, and for me, my dream has started in California, and I'm not sure where it will take me around the world or around the country going forward. But I want to let everyone know, because I know your show is based in the Midwest, that the idea of the California dream to me is not exclusive to California, exclusive to LA, even though that is where I drew my inspiration from. I think what I think of the California dream, there is the waves and the beach, and that's kind of like a backdrop to where my dream or my passion can be expressed. But I think for others, whether it's a Midwest city or expansive farmland, or if you're living in the mountains in Denver or anywhere you are, I think the backdrop is your part of your dream, but finding a place that allows you to sink yourself into something that makes you feel passionate, that's the California dream. The idea of a place that you can call upon, whether you're there in person or you're just reminiscing about it while on the road or having moved away, that's the idea of the California dream. And that's kind of the idea of this record, is that California for me is that place. But I hope for anyone else who's listening, California dream can be any dream, as long as you kind of keep it in mind and keep it forefront in your head.
Keep the passion and keep moving forward. And Tom, I look forward to hearing your next album. And hopefully if we get through this, this crazy world we're living in now, you can get your way here to Chicago and we can meet up and I can see you perform, and you got to bring Eva with you. I got to tell you, I'm very impressed with that lady.
I definitely will. I'll have to talk to her about it, but I don't think she'll say no.
All right, sounds good. We're going to leave you with a song called Give Me the Breeze as we get ready to head into hour number two. This is, once again, Tom Sless, and it's his album California Dream. So let the breeze hit your hair, and don't go anywhere.